I'm Matt.
Hey, I'm Steve.
Hey, I'm John.
This is the Sober Friends Podcast. We're here for the sober curious, the new guy, and the old timer. We're here to talk about the stuff anyone looking to live alcohol-free has to face day to day, and how we overcame those struggles. We speak for no 12-step group, but we do try to remain anonymous. You're not alone. This is the Sober Friends Podcast.
If we could have gotten sober alone, we probably would have, which means once we get sober, there are things that we still need to do to help somebody else. And that's where service comes in. Steve, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great, Matt. I'm great. Like I said, a little busy right now. We're recording this a couple of days before Thanksgiving. And so it's a busy time.
Yeah, it is for me. I think the busyness is starting to wind down. Thank God.
Yeah. So
writing reviews and doing stuff. But I was thinking about the last time we recorded, you had to run to a GSR meeting and it made me think about service. I know we've probably talked about service on this show before, but it's one of those topics that is worth talking about, whether you're in a 12-step group, whether you're finding sobriety in a different way. So I guess the first thing to do is define, what do we mean by service and recovery?
Well, I mean, service is just that. It's serving, you know, a different cause or serving other people or whatever you want to do with that. For me, it means, and I think for a lot of us, and certainly in the 12-step program world, it means giving back, right? I mean, when I came into these, we talk about it all the time. I came into these rooms. The first time I stepped into these rooms, I had somebody put out their hand, introduce himself as Mike. And for the next couple of years, that guy reached out to me, picked me up, took me to meetings, really like just went above and beyond anything that I could have even dreamed of. And I struggled that first time through for my own reasons, but not because he didn't reach out and help me. And I was always grateful to him. He's still my sponsor today. But so it's about doing service, about doing either service for another human being or a group. And again, in the 12-step program that we do, there's lots of opportunities to do service, right? There's all kinds of levels, and I'm sure we'll touch on some of those. And just, you said it, you know, one of them was GSR. People say, well,
give
what's
the sucker
GSR?
Responsibility.
Yeah, it's a general service rep. It's what we do, right? Is each group, hopefully each group has a rep, and they go to a bigger group, and you sit there and you talk about, you know, things that are going on within the 12-step recovery program for us AA, and then that group has representative to go up to bigger groups and bigger, you know, so it just keeps going up, and you can do lots of different service. But the biggest service that we could all do is making ourselves available to a still sick and suffering alcoholic, right? I mean, simple as good, nice words, pick up the phone, talk to somebody. That's service work too.
Absolutely. And I'm of the belief that service work as well is raising your hand and speaking up. Yeah. A lot of times I speak up in our Monday meeting because there's crickets, no matter how populated it has been lately.
Right.
I mean, still some people, crickets. I look at raising my hand and sharing a service because I can share a message, whether I'm struggling with something or not. There's something somebody else might be able to identify with. And it could just be a couple of minutes of killing the dead air so people feel more comfortable, or planting a seed. You never know that if you open your mouth and you give of your heart, what somebody else might take. I will tell you some other small service, putting your chair away.
Yeah.
That's something small you can do.
Yeah.
And important.
Yeah. I mean, it is amazing. But I mean, for the most part, people do that. But there are some people who just come in and write, and it is just that simple thing of being part of a group, right? If we're talking about the group type of service, or going to a meeting or whatever it might be, yeah, just, you know, don't be the first, last one in, the first one out the door. Stick around, put a chair away, pick up, you know, sometimes there's tables to rearrange, things like that. There might be, you know, information books and pamphlets and stuff to put away. So yeah, it's really simple stuff, but it goes a long way. It goes a long way of helping out. And, you know, it's interesting because it's become part of who I am. And here's the side thing, right? Like, so we have people coming over. One of them is my son and his wife and two grandkids. The grandkids are both, were when they were born, had dairy allergies, right? The older one, who's not even two, is fine. He's gotten past them, right? It's fine. But there's another one who's 8 months now, and they still have it, which means my daughter-in-law, who's nursing, can't have dairy, right? So we have things like lasagna and stuff like that. So, and we have a dessert that my wife makes, which is called apple crisp. I'm sure people know about it, but it has a butter and cinnamon and sugar and flour topping on it, right? It's still, it's out of this world. So my wife made one, and I was doing some cooking, and then I'm like, you know something, I could make that without the butter. I mean, I bought some butter substitute for her. It says on the package, tastes just like butter. So I made a separate thing so that she could, usually I'll go out and buy some, like a cupcake or some non-dairy, so she'll have something. But, you know, after cleaning up the whole kitchen, it hit me. I'm like, oh, no. So I whipped out everything again, made up this whole batch. I try to be service to people and help and helpful and thoughtful of people regardless of the situation. So that's just part of who it is. I'm sure if you listen to this podcast, you've heard me say that my goal in life for whatever time I have left on this earth is to be useful to other human beings. And I do that, right? And with that comes service.
This is a separate topic, but it's something that is underneath the surface that's bothering me. And this could be a topic for another podcast. But I have things about death that I'm scared of. And I think a lot of it is what comes after, which then feeds into what do I think about a higher power? What do I think about God? Although a higher power and God can be two different things. I overthink it. And I was thinking on my drive home yesterday that the point of life is to do something better for other people. And that's how you're remembered. That's how you can live immortally. If you're doing things for others without a thought for yourself, that we can't just live in this world doing our own thing. We have to weave ourselves into whatever the social fabric is and make an impact in a positive way. That doesn't mean I'm raising $1 million for United Way.
Nope.
It could be a nice word to everybody that I meet. Leave a positive impression. Do something a little bit extra. But that's why I think we're on the planet, is to help another person beyond what we do. And it's a very fulfilling thing. I think about the service work I've learned in AA, and I think about how it's carried into other aspects of my life. I am now more willing to help out a peer or help out somebody else without thinking through what is going to come back to me. In the end, it's a good interview answer. That's not the purpose of me doing it. It's a side benefit. And I have more people who are on my side now, and I have a better brand than before. You can weave this into your own personal life if you do this well in the rooms of AA. What are some other things we can do for service?
Well, one of the things you just said there, just to go back to one of the things you said is, you know, we help each other out. We do things, you know, as a species, we were able to survive because we banded together and we were able to figure out how to do stuff, hunt and gather and all that kind of stuff. So it's ingrained in our DNA to do that. Now, what's happened in the modern world is that we don't need to do that, right? All of our food is done. Like we need a job and we need money and then we can take care. So you can live alone. You can be a hermit and survive. Not well, because I think socially and emotionally, I think we all need
human contact. Exist.
You can exist.
I don't call that living.
You're right. You can exist. So all I can tell you is that when I do that type of work, I just feel so good. Like when I'm able to help somebody out, just like you said, a simple conversation. And I've been in grocery stores shopping, and I've had a couple conversations with people in grocery stores. And that's all they were. They were just conversations, right? It was somebody looking through some frozen, you know, turkey breasts, and she's trying to find different pounds. And I had been searching for something for about 5 minutes in that thing. So I was able to look at her and go, they're all about 7 pounds, right? That's what they are. 6 pounds, whatever it is. But, and then another woman, like just these simple interactions that are nice and pleasant, instead of me being so focused and not paying attention to anybody else. Like it just makes my day when I'm able to do that. No other reason. So lots of way to be service. Like I said, simple things, and it doesn't have to be within your program. But if you're out there and you're not in a 12-step program, then the question is, what can you do to do a service, right? I mean, hopefully you're not trying to get sober on your own, right? Hopefully you have some type of community, whether it's online. So, you know, if you're in one of those communities, you got to participate. And even in this little podcast that you and I do, right? So you want to be of service, write us a review. I mean it. Like, yep. It's as simple as that. Leave a comment. Leave a suggestion. You know, shoot us a topic that you want us to talk about. That's service work. You're offering to help out not only us, but maybe other people who listen to that. Like, there's lots of ways that you might not think is really a service, but it is.
That's so true. When you're podcasting, I can't hear the audience. I don't know if anybody's actually listening to this. If you and Steve and I are having a conversation, that's all well and good. But because we're just recording this, putting it on tape and uploading it somewhere, I have no idea if this makes an impact. And it's sort of like I'm doing something blind.
Right.
When you give feedback back, you're telling me that, hey, this is something that's important to me. It does make an impact. At the end of the show, we do have a review. We have a really good review that I want to share, and it helps guide the show. I do this show as service. This is a way that I can help reach out to somebody else in a different way between meetings, between whatever you're doing, or if you're just sober curious, that there's some flavor of recovery that you can hear at any time. You just press a button. You don't have to do any work, and maybe that will lead you to another action. Mm-hmm. But it's incredibly helpful to have recovery podcasts and literature out there. When I first got into recovery, first service job I had was the door greeter. I don't know how many meetings have door greeters anymore. This is the only one that I knew of that has it. It's a Tuesday night meeting. And they took their service work pretty seriously, that you had to sign into the book and you had to have a certain amount of sobriety and you had to be a member of the group for a certain amount of time, which means that at that level, you had certain opportunities open for you. Like coffee was at a certain amount of months, chairing the meeting at a certain amount of months, being an officer of the meeting a certain amount. But right away, you got a month in, I can be the door greeter. And the reason I picked that is our friend Jim mentioned at the Friday night meeting once that he was shy and he became a door greeter to get to know people. And I'm like, I'm introverted. I'm shy. I am afraid of everyone. And if I can do a month as a door greeter, I'm going to meet a lot of people. Everybody goes to that meeting. What turned out to be a five week commitment that was very, very long, very hot. Third floor of like a 100-degree month. Everybody came through and gave me a hug of this very large meeting. And I got to meet people very quickly.
And that is the way that works, right? You talk about if you're around this program, people who've been around this program for 20 or 30 years, they talk about, you know, cleaning ashtrays, right? Like when the meetings were smoker meetings and, you know, emptying trash. It's one of the things, right? And our big Friday night meeting, like we had somebody who's responsible for taking out the trash. Like we would bundle up all our trash and they had a dumpster and we'd get rid of it. You know, and we had a coffee maker and we had greeters at that meeting. We had greeters. And it's funny because I've been to that Tuesday night meeting, not lots, but I've been to it. And I went to that Tuesday night meeting 1 week while you were greeting. I remember it.
It's probably a sweaty mess.
No, it was a mess. I remember how hot it was too. But I remember you greeting. I knew you were new because, you know, you had been coming to some of the meetings I went to. So, but I do remember that. But yeah, there's lots of those really entry level things. And so why do you do it? What do you get out of greeting people? Not just besides you saying, okay, I'm going to try to overcome this little shyness I have, this little uncomfortability I have with people. What else do you get out of it? Well, you get, number one, you get to meet a lot of people, right? You walk into a room, especially some of these meetings were big, 30, 40 people maybe. So you might not know everybody, you know? Then when you walk in and you say, hey, I'm Matt and I'm an alcoholic, welcome to this meeting. They're going to say, hey, they're going to tell you their name. And you might have, you know, you'll have a better connection. You'll have a better understanding of who this person might be. Maybe you have a conversation. I just know that if I walk into a door greeter, mostly I'm going to have a little conversation with that person, especially if I don't know them, right? Especially if I don't know them. Just to just to say, hey, you know, how you doing? It's just, you know, it's just one of those little, it's a little building block of trying to get you comfortable in this group of people. Because let's, you know, we talk about it, most of us, not all of us, most of us are some type of loner when we've walked into this room. We, you know, we did a lot of drinking. And even if we drank in public with other people, there's still a lot of loneliness when you drink the way we drank, you know? I mean, I think most of us felt like we knew something bad was going on. We just couldn't fix it. And that's a lonely feeling. You're not telling, nobody's out there saying, listen, I'm an alcoholic and I really need help, but I don't feel like, you know, we're not having those conversations, right? We're not.
Right.
You're just out there drinking. You're doing it until whatever happens that brings you into recovery. So even if you're out in public, there's still a lot of loneliness because we suffer alone.
And I put walls up. I did it because I was very black and white. I heard a lot of things that the old timers were saying. So I felt, well, I have to do these things. I have to do some service work. I have to be a door greeter. I have to go to the meeting early. It almost felt like there was a duty that I had to pay my dues. It was part of the initiation, and I wanted to show people that I was serious about this. And I think part of that was me psychologically, that everybody was looking down their nose at me, and that if I could show as a real go-getter, that people would have some level of respect, which is not the best mindset, because people are just happy that you're there and you're getting sober. But it is a great way. Coffee maker is sort of the same reason people do that. Because you get to know everybody. You've got to get to the meeting early to make coffee. If you're making a lot of coffee, it takes a little bit of time, depending on how big the meeting is. You're usually not making just like a little coffee pot, because that's not going to get through 10, 20, 50, 100 people. Some of these meetings, you have to make these percolator crafts that take a good half hour.
Yeah, 45 minutes, easy.
So, but and that's not 40, your meeting starts at 7. That doesn't mean it has to be ready for 7.
No.
It has to be ready for maybe 6:30.
Right.
Because that's when people come in.
Right.
And they have their coffee and they start chatting, and because they're these people, they show up real early and they want their coffee. So that 7 p.m. meeting, that's 5:45, if my math is correct, and math is not my thing. But you got to get there early.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you feel a level of ownership with your group.
Listen, when you walk into a meeting, and again, you attend a meeting, because you could even do it online, there's a certain amount of work that has to take place in order for that meeting to happen. Whether, even if it's online, right? Somebody needs to set it up. Somebody needs to manage it. Somebody needs to have that Zoom account, if that's the way it is. Whatever it is, somebody has to have the subject. There's work that has to be done. So if you think about an in-person meeting that you walk in, and there's a few I go to that still do that. And you walk in and there's coffee and there's some type of snack, and the tables and chairs are arranged the way they need to be arranged. Like, somebody has done that work, you know.
There's not hired staff for that. Right. It's not like corporation.
You can take and take and take, but eventually, if you want these things to be around, you have to give back, all right? And again, some of us are drawn to it, and I think we're drawn to it, a lot of us. Some of us is our personality, and others of us, like you said, like, we get in there and you work with you get to know a certain group of people in recovery, some old timers, and they'll tell you need to do this, because it is when you're connected in that way, it's another guardrail against going out, right? I mean, it's like service work for me is the other thing I do. The other service work I do is, like, we have a friend, we talk about Mike. Mike doesn't drive, right? I pick up Mike, usually go to 2 meetings. Okay. There's many nights where I'm really, really tired and I don't feel like going to a meeting. And maybe if I didn't already agree to pick up Mike, maybe I would stay home. But because I'm picking someone else and bringing them to this meeting, I'm going to go. So it gets me to do what I need to do. You know, that's another really simple way of doing service. Is like, you know, we have our buddy Edson says, listen, you got four seats in your car. You should have four asses in those seats, is what you should, you know? And that's the way it used to be. And I used to love picking up two or three guys and going to a meeting with three or four guys in the car. It's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to do. So, you got to give back. I mean, our Monday night meeting, we've talked about it here. Our Monday night meeting, we're recording this on Tuesday. So we had our meeting last night and it might've been the biggest meeting that we've had in a while.
On a holiday week.
Right.
21. I don't know if it's a big one because of a holiday week. I usually often find less people, but
yeah. And there were several regulars who weren't there. It could have been huge. Mm-hmm. Right. It could have pushed to 30 people, which would be huge for that meeting. And that meeting 6 months ago, 7 months ago, 8 months ago, I can remember sitting there with three of us.
You mean Lori and maybe right.
Timmy, maybe Mike, Tim. Mike. Like, yeah, I don't know if we ever had that meeting without at least six people, but we had some six people meetings, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, so it's nice the fact that we all showed up. We went there every week or mostly every week, opened up the doors, got ready to do this meeting. And whether there was six people or 30 people, we did the meeting. And now that meeting is available. And one of the guys who used to go to that meeting said, you know, I realized I didn't have a big book meeting in my repertoire. And I laughed because he says, I've been looking for ones, but I didn't like the ones. And I'm like, well, Dan, why don't you come back to this one that you just used to come to all the time? And he finally did. Yeah. And the fact that we're there, we're making sure this meeting goes on, is a way to give back to this program.
I saw MJ last night, who I like to see because she's a woman about town who has been on town council. Mm-hmm. And I like to talk about the local politics and stuff. And she was surprised I remembered her. Of course I remember her. We had a nice conversation. And it seemed like just that level of engagement and actual joy of, I haven't seen you in a while. Mm-hmm. I just want to hear what's going on. I got some questions for you. That she seemed really happy. Like, wow, I'm actually valued here.
It's really nice when you walk into a place. I can remember, and MJ's been around for a while, mm-hmm. but I can remember walking into a place and having some old timer call me by my name and go, oh, this person knows me. Like, exactly, making me feel like I have value, right? When at a time when I didn't feel like I had any value. I mean, that's the whole point, right? I came in here, I felt like I was the, you know, just horrible, horrible person, just the scum of the earth type of person. And to have somebody pay some attention to me, to have somebody, you know, talk to me, to have somebody just let me know that things will get better. Give me some, like, it's so powerful. I mean, I can't even explain it. If you haven't been through it, I can't explain it. It's very, very powerful.
So now we get to like the top level when we go to these district meetings, area meetings. I did district service, I think, pretty much the first 8 years of my sobriety. And it's almost been about a year, year and a half since I've been done. I will tell you, I need a break from the district level. I think doing 8 years, I've earned a break, mm-hmm. because there's a lot there. You have the people at district and area who are pretty motivated. It's the same people. If you're looking for service opportunities, you want to go to district or area, there is always an opening. There's never enough people. Right. It is always the same people. But there are just some challenges with some of those people because they take it seriously.
Right.
Or they go with a preconceived notion. And the personalities there are definitely patience building.
Absolutely. I mean, you just hit it, you know. Hit a nail on the head, because it really is. It's an opportunity, and I've really worked hard on it. And I look around that room, and there's a lot of people. And the thing about the meeting, the district, is that you always got new people coming in the door, right? So what's happening is like you're always getting these new people. So it's like there's always seems to be two or three new people in the room. So sometimes it's their first opportunity at service. And it's always interesting to watch. So you have to have some patience with people. And it's interesting for me because I go to this meeting. GSR, for anybody who doesn't know, is General Service Rep, right? So that's what the group level, and you go into the district meeting. And I look around, and I always have to remember, like, these are all volunteer people. These are people who stepped up for, and then not only that, they've taken on the leadership of a committee within this, you know. Each meeting, you're supposed to get 3 minutes to talk about whatever committee you're leading. Being someone who spoke somewhat for a living, if I know I'm going to speak for 3 minutes, if you tell me I'm going to speak for 3 minutes, I'm going to have a 3 to 4 minute speech written out and practiced. That's what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to know what I'm going to say when I wake up. I'm not going to be shooting from the hip.
I'll tell you, if I got a 3 minute speech, I'm going for two. I'm shooting for two and a half.
So I watch some of these people and it's like, you know, this, it drags on. And then I have to remind myself, listen, they don't know. They don't do this. They're not professionals. They're doing the best they can. And you know something? They raised their hand and they took on a responsibility that I haven't been willing to take on. So who am I to complain about them? So I go to these meetings. We all complain. They get a little bit long. They're a little bit windy. But the truth is, for me, you know, it's a couple hours out of my night once a month. That's what it is.
Yep.
And that's where I'm at now. I'm hopeful that I'll do some more of that. Right now, I don't think I could take, which, you know, my wife wouldn't want me to go out too much. If I started telling her, oh, I need to be at 4 of these meetings a month, she wouldn't be very happy. So I got to sort of play
a whole day on a Sunday sometimes.
Right, right. So I'll do it because I don't mind. I like doing service. I like being around people. And hopefully, like I said, if life has it in store for me and I have some more time available to me, then in the future I might do more.
The upside of doing service at area or district level is you're going to see people that you don't normally see. You will run into old timers. You'll run into those people you don't normally run into.
Right.
I forgot some of the other service things because it is the holidays. If you're fortunate enough to have Alkathons, there's an Alkathon near us, Thanksgiving. There was a big New Year's Alkathon, and I don't know if we're doing that at all. There's always a Christmas Alkathon. Those are great. The service there is showing up.
Yeah.
I almost raised my hand after somebody mentioned it and said, you know, because if you, they're great because there are a lot of people when they get sober, they don't have a place to go. Mm-hmm. They don't have family who want them around. For whatever reason, this might be the only opportunity to have a Thanksgiving dinner. Some of these people coming in, they could be homeless. So it's a hot meal on a holiday. And if you do have someplace to be, it might still be worth showing up for an hour or two because you're giving company to somebody else who might not have it. You don't need to be there, but you being there allows somebody else to have some companionship. That piece is important too.
Here's the thing about those Alkathons, and one of the things that's so important is that we all had our first holiday season. Say that right? Whether, you know, depending on when we got sober. So we all had our first Thanksgiving. We had our first Christmas. We had our first New Year's. So just like you said, even if you have a place to go, even if you have a family function, even if you have whatever it might be, you may need a meeting. Right? You may go to a family function that has, you may go to Thanksgiving dinner if you're newly sober and there may be wine and drinking going on, right? And you may say, okay, I'm going to do this because it's important, but you may leave that meeting and go, boy, I need a meeting. Like I need to go find something. Or you go to a meeting before you go there, you know, so you can get yourself set for it. So that's what it is. I mean, those Alkathons are 24 hours of meetings. Right. So
We mean that like the Thanksgiving, these ones usually are like 6 p.m. to 6 p.m.
Right.
So if you want to go somewhere at 2 in the morning, there will be a meeting for you.
Yep. Absolutely. And our Friday night meeting always takes a late one at the Christmas. We used to do it at both Christmas and New Year's. And we have the midnight commitment to do a meeting from 12. So it'll be Christmas morning. From 12, then they stop at 12:50, 50-minute meeting. So, you know, we took it on as a commitment, as a service commitment for our group, and we'll get 8 or 10 guys who will show up at that meeting on Christmas night and do that meeting. And I've been there, and I've been at these Alkathons, especially the New Year's one, at 3 o'clock in the morning because I don't have anything going on. So if I'm awake, I would go. And it's amazing who comes in there, and people who are newly sober, mm-hmm. gives them a place to go and just talk to another alcoholic. And that's it. That's your service work. Just sitting there talking to another alcoholic that night is your service work.
And some of these more complex ones, like New Year's Alcathon, used to be like this, where there was a kitchen. There's plenty of opportunities to go in there and right. cook and make coffee, repeatedly make coffee, because that is going very quickly and setting up the table, mm-hmm. making sure things are cleaned up. There are actual physical things you can do at an Alcathon to help somebody, but putting your butt in a seat is a really important one.
Yeah.
I stopped going to the New Year's Alcathon because, legit, I'm terrified of driving on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
It starts at like 4 p.m. and you're out, and people are driving like amateurs out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a realistic fear, but I just feel like there are people out there. If I'm out there late, if I see another car coming my way, it's likely that they are gassed. I don't want to be around them, and I'd rather be hunkered down here.
Yeah, it is a scary time, and even any night out now. One of the things I do, like on those things, this is around the holidays, is I literally try to take as many back roads and city roads as I can. I try to stay off of highways, right? Because, you know, a crash at 35 or 40 miles an hour probably won't kill you. You know, it wouldn't be fun, but it probably won't kill you. But if you're on a highway and you get a wrong way driver, it's pretty scary. I still like going out to them. I don't have that 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I used to really have trouble sleeping. I sleep much better nowadays. I don't think I have those 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning ones for me anymore, where I would literally go there. Like I said, we would have a midnight or 11 o'clock commitment. So I'd go an hour early and then I would stay. And especially what would happen is, like, there'd be another group afterwards, but I would know guys. So I would stay for that one. Next thing I know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I'm still at the Alcathon, you know, because there's people I know. And like I said, the other thing you said there, Matt, about when you do live, you do service at a district or area level, is you start to meet people, especially if you've been in town. Like, I grew up in a different town from where I live now. And if I would do some of that work, like, I would run into all people from where I grew up who are in this program that I don't know who's in this program, right? Like, I would start saying, oh, you know, so-and-so, because I have a brother who still lived in that area, and I would go to meetings with him. And it's amazing who's in the rooms of people I grew up with or used to work with. And because I don't live in that area anymore and I don't go to meetings down there, I don't see them, you know?
Right.
And which really actually tells me that I probably should take some rides, especially in the wintertime.
Oh, let me know if you want to do that sometime.
Yeah.
I love doing those things.
Yeah. You'll have to do it. Get a couple guys. Like I said, get four of us. Go out. Like, we've done it before. Yeah. Go out and maybe grab a quick bite to eat, whatever. Even if we don't do that, just to go to a meeting, just to show up at a meeting. And because if you walk in with four guys, or if you get a couple carloads of guys, right away, people look like, oh, look at this. Right. And people want to know, what are you doing here? We're just doing a road trip to go to a different meeting.
Well, those are the most fun.
Yeah, they are.
You get in a car with a bunch of your friends and you go to a meeting that you normally don't go to.
Right.
And you just pick it and you do that together. That is such good recovery time. There's so many good things you can talk about. And then maybe you can have somebody take you to ice cream afterwards, because I'm always good with that.
And that's service too, because you're going to, like you said, you're going to put a butt in the seat. You're going to talk to other alcoholics in a different area, and you're going to support whatever meeting you choose. You're going to support that meeting, you know?
Well, I told you that I had a review and we had a really good one. So 5 stars, there's just nice. Somebody bashed his head into, I think, the keyboard to put his name there. So it's not pronounceable. So you know who you are. That the headline is "Reignited My Active Recovery," which I saw that and I'm like, wow. A little over a year and a half into my sober journey, things were getting a little stale. The podcast has helped me get back into my groove. Thanks, guys. That is such a powerful comment to think that this podcast is getting you out of a rut and getting you reignited. Damn. I'm always amazed when I see stuff like that. So I really appreciate it. I'd give you your name, but there's a lot of consonants here from the upper part of the alphabet, and I think you just smashed your hand into the keyboard, which is okay.
Those reviews mean so much to us. You know, they really do. Like Matt and I said, we just sit here in our little rooms, him in his basement, me in my home office, and we just have this conversation, and then Matt does his magic and puts it out into the you know, into the internet tubes. And who knows? We never know where it goes. So send us those reviews. Let us know. That review just helps us to show up next week and do it again.
Yeah, this is an aside, but I was listening. One of the podcasts I like to listen to is Pivot with Scott Galloway and Kara Swisher. And they went at the end of, you know, today the podcast is, you know, engineered by Ernie so-and-so. The producer is this. The research assistants are this person, this person, this person. I'm like, God damn.
Right.
Yeah, no wonder you have a really successful ranked podcast. You've got a crew.
Yeah.
Crew is me and my fingers and editing until I bleed. So it's just the two of us. There's no crew. It's You're the crew for listening.
All right, Matt.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Steve. And we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody. You made it this far into the podcast. That tells me you're a pretty big fan. If you like what we do and you find value in the podcast, consider a donation at buymeacoffee.com/soberfriendspod. Your donation keeps us on the air to help out the new guy and helps us defray some of our costs. If you find value in our podcast, please consider a donation at buymeacoffee.com/soberfriendspod.